This place is a place of personal growth. It's not, we're you know, most people think that church is the salvation station. And just in my heart from the very beginning when God began to call me, that was the one thing I struggled with. I never believed it was a salvation station. I believe that you're the salvation station. And that when we get born again, it just seemed like we were just left on the curb after that. We were left on a doorstep at the church. And the church was supposed to somehow have the responsibility of doing something with us. So they left us on the doorstep and they put us to work, you know. And it was child labor because none of us were grown up enough to do anything. Amen? And they put us together with child labor and should have never done that. Amen? The Bible is not a book of rules and regulations. And the Bible is not a manipulator to God or God to you. He does not put his word in there. So he didn't write this, have this written for you and I, so that it would be, if you don't do this, you don't get that. Did you hear me? He didn't write it so you would understand, if you don't do this, you don't get that. And if you do this, you do get that. That's not why it was written. It also was not written for us to look as a pattern that we can do what it says and God will just have to do what he said because it says. That's manipulating God. That's taking the book of life and turn it into a book of witchcraft. Amen? It's not about that. And we've turned it into that. It is a book of personal growth. The whole book is there to help you grow. Everything that God has for you was deposited in you at your born-again experience. Everything. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives inside of you. Now, the next thing you see in the New Testament that we see for us is the moment we're born again, the next thing he wants to do is bring this experience to life with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. To bring to life gifts in you that you're going to need if you're going to continue in your personal growth. God's raising up, he's birthing children, but he's raising up adults. He's raising up people to live and operate in this. And he's given you everything you need. Now, I'm going to show you that this is, Bob Yandian gave us this, and it was really, really good. I want all of you just kind of look at your hands right now and wiggle your fingers, right? Look at your fingers. Did you know those are the same fingers you received when you came out of your birth canal, of your mother's birth canal? They're the same ones. But now they're grown. And some of them you look down and you go, boy, they're getting old. Have you ever looked down at your hands and went, oh my, they don't look like they once did? Haven't you got out there and worked and went, oh my, they don't work like they once did? But that's not the way it's supposed to be. Do you know, I believe in some parts of my body and some areas of my life are not working as they should. This thing was built for 120 years of good service. God made it. Chevrolet didn't make it. Ford didn't make it. John Deere didn't make it. Harley Davidson didn't make it. The best contractors and architects didn't make it. The God of the universe made your body. And he created it to last 120 years by his warranty. That's his warranty. He said, now if you abuse it and don't pay attention to me, you know that it cuts it short to 80, 85. And we go, we'll take the 80, 85. That'd be good. Boy, if I can just get there, I'll be all right. And we crawl there, you know? You know what I'm saying? We crawl there. We crawl to get there. Most of us are crawling to get to that age. broken down, busted, and all of this, and we're the children of God with a warranty of 120 years old. Now, if your car doesn't make it to its full warranty, what do? You take it back to that dealer. I had one that didn't make it 3 years. That dealer gave me a new one. Why? Because I have a warranty here. This thing's supposed to last more than a couple years, right? Folks, if someone dies, it's prematurely. Because it's not like he gives a promise and then says, well, it's for some and not for others. For others, I have a special purpose. He's not making angels to replace you. He can make angels without you. Matter of fact, he made angels without you before you ever came. Okay? Why were we last? Why were we the last thing he created? Because everything before that was created for us. Because everything before that was created for us. He's not a father who waits till we get here and then tries to fix it. He's fixing it before you get here. Amen? So it's very important to have personal growth. I say it this way. Most of us, we don't step in to what God has promised us until there's an emergency. Jason and I have talked about it often, and he says, well, it's just not hard enough yet. You know, for some people, it's just not hard enough for them yet. It's just the challenge hasn't come yet. There's just not enough of an emergency. And then the problem with the emergency, I watched him explain this over here at healing school, and it was explained so well, but I'm going to say it a little differently because I've said it before, and he and I have talked about it over and over again. It's really hard to lay down a roof in a hurricane. But we don't tend to it till it leaks. Then we want to rush out with a ladder, and we want others to come help us hold the ladder and steady the ladder and shovel stuff up so we can get that fixed. And that's okay. We're here. Amen. I know some of you, you're there. You're there. You're there with someone who is in the hurricane and the roof is leaking, you know. But when we get it fixed and we're in the dry and the hurricane passes by, that's not the time to say, well, it's fixed, everything's good. Might be time to go up there and peel the roof and lay a good one down for the next time. Amen? For years to come. It's almost like we want to wait. Amen? And folks, I'm telling you, it's just really tough in that time. It's harder to believe God. It's better to get into a hunger for him, and it's better to ask him to produce a hunger in us and then produce something that is operating in you and operating through you. It's easier to believe God for something minute and see him operate and do it, and that builds your faith layer upon layer, line upon line. And it's easier to do that than it is to wait till a really serious situation comes and now I want to believe God. Well, you've not produced any personal growth with him to know what to believe in. You're believing now in what somebody else, it's happened in somebody else's life, you see. And when you're trying to believe in what somebody else has done and what somebody else has experienced, but you don't have the experience yourself because you never grew up. You're malnourished, and you didn't you've got everything at birth, and they just didn't tell us that. They preached to us from a word that we had to get perfect now. Now that God saved us and chose us, now we got to line up and get perfect. And I'm telling you, that's a fantasy camp. I'm not disappointed in any Christian I don't care what they do or what they say, I'm not disappointed. What they do and what they say tells me about their personal growth. Come on. Why are you disappointed in your brother or sister because you find out they're not personally grown? What did you do to help them grow? Well, now hello. What did you do to help them grow? If you didn't do anything to help them grow, then quit judging them. Amen? I just know that we're moving in something here, and that's what this house is about, is helping you grow. So I'm going to go over here to Isaiah 54, verse 2. Isaiah 54, verse 2 is where I'm going to start at today. Let's not find ourselves waiting till the storm clouds are rolling in. Amen? It's not a safe time to get up on the roof. It's not that God can't do it. Amen? It's not that God can't do it. But now's the time. That's why he said, today is the day of salvation. What is salvation? To do well in every area of your life. To transform your mind and renew it to the Word of God. All right? He says here, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of your inhabitants. Spare not, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Let's read that again. Enlarge the place of your tent. The first thing he says is enlarge the place of your tent. You are now the tabernacle. You are now the house of God. This is not the house of God. This is the house of personal growth. So if somebody spills something on, I'm not giving an okay to spill something on the carpet, okay? This is your house of personal growth. Clean it up. Amen? Don't leave it for the volunteer to take care of. Pick it up. All right? Appreciate the volunteers so you don't have to. All right? But what I'm saying is, somebody comes in here. That's why you're going to let them bring donuts into the sanctuary, and it's, you know, it's like the sanctuary. That's where God shows up. Oh my Lord, I've been here a lot. I'm here a lot. You know, there's times I show up here, and because of my state of mind and spirit, I feel God. There's other times I come through here and I ain't feeling God so much. I got work to do. You know why? Because this is just a building. He's talking to you. Stretch out your tent. What's that mean? It means you've got stretching is testing. How far can this bad boy go? He's saying stretch it. Don't stay where you're at. This skin that I've got has stretched out since I was a baby. They showed me pictures last night. We went to a class reunion. They showed me pictures from 10 years ago, and my God, it stretched out a whole lot just since then. I said, that's not me. All right? Stretch. What's that going to, how are you going to do that? The Bible tells us that the yoke is destroyed by the power of the anointing, or the anointing destroys the yoke. Now, why did he use the word yoke? He wanted to try to give you a picture of what he was talking about. A yoke is something you put around a bull, a lead bull's neck, sometimes two bulls, maybe a mule, or horses, and they pull with that yoke. That's strapped, it contains them and across their chest, and they pull. They can't go far without that. They can't run free with that around their neck. If you loose them even from their bonds to that plow or that carriage and leave the yoke on, those two horses or those two cows or they can't run free. They're not free. The Bible says the anointing destroys the yoke. Well, if you find out what that means, it says the fatness of your growth in God breaks the yoke. You grow out of the yoke and destroy it. Now, once you're too big for the yoke, can it be put back on you? No. It can't be put back on. You're too big. Trust me, I've got pants I can't put back on. I don't care how hard I try. Amen? Shoes that I wore years and years ago, that size won't fit anymore. Hello? Amen. Why? Because I've outgrown that, and I'm never going back. We've got some of the baby clothes. My mom saved something of mine. Her mom saved something of hers. And when the grandbaby came along, of course, they get all that stuff out because, you know, you got to dress the baby in, you know, something that you were in or whatever, or at least see it. And you look at that and go, oh, that won't fit anymore. Why? I've grown. See, there's a lot of stuff can't get on us only simply because we've grown. Amen? We're no longer babies in this thing, but now we're children of the Most High. We've grown, and Satan can't get it. That's why the Bible says sin has no hold on you. He's trying to tell you when you get into spiritual growth, personal spiritual growth, you get into that personal growth and you get to know God and you get to know who you are and you receive the power that He has for you rather than just it existing in you, but you receive it for yours. Satan can't, you're like Teflon now. Everything hits you, but it slides off of you. It can't get its hold on you. So I'm telling you right now, whatever you're dealing with, quit looking at it and allowing it to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Quit looking at it and look to Him. People, you know, my mother-in-law, she came over one day. She just got saved. And I felt very fortunate to be able to pretty much lead the whole family into a relationship. And it was really amazing. She came over and she said, I'm trying to read this, Dean, but I just don't understand it. I just don't understand any of it. And she wasn't a well-educated individual, smart, had a lot of experience, great for giving me advice and helping me through things. But, I mean, she'd sit down and talk with you and draw it out of you, asking you questions, you know, and pulling it out of you. And so, but she couldn't understand that Bible. And I said, Liz, just keep reading it because it's God's word. He's your Father. He will reveal. And I'll never forget. It was months, maybe a year or so later. She wouldn't give up. She kept reading that Bible. And she came over, and she was just in tears, and she was in laughter, and she was just, I understand this. And she laid it out. And what happened? She grew. She was growing. And she wasn't going to quit. Growing is going to be some resistance against everything else. Growing is going to be a resistance against everything you think. When God called me into the ministry, I thought one thing. You know where success lies in ministry? Able to stick with it and let God change you till you get where He wanted you to be. There's where you can communicate with people. Any ministry, music ministry, until you're able. Unless God's called you somewhere else, go somewhere else. But wherever you go, I can guarantee you it's going to be about Him working through you to touch people. And it means you have to go out into the battle. Listen, a leader takes people into the battlefield, doesn't give them instructions to go to the battlefield. A leader is one of them. When you see them go into battle, I just got done watching a few pretty good films on our World War II battles, And what was interesting to me is when they'd release those guys out of those U-boats, you couldn't tell who the leader was, except he was out there running out in front of them somewhere. They all wore the same uniform. They all looked the same. You had to look real close to find the stripes on the side. Why? Because they're just stripes. And let me tell you something. Everybody in that U-boat, they knew who the leader was. I can guarantee you. Out there on the battlefield, they know who the leader is. Amen. Why? Because the leader is trained with them. The leader knows them. They are one with the people. Until you can do that, you can't do this. And it's going to take great personal growth. Alabama wrote a song, and it is so interesting because I relate to it as a pastor, as the ministry in church. I lost so much of me, but I got enough of me to say I was born in Alabama or whatever it was. What it is when you get in, you're going to lose you. You're no longer yours. I went to that class reunion last night and realized just how much of me I lost. They all are looking, Dino and all that stuff, and I'm like, wow. But they've lost a lot too through life to become something that, if you're going to become what God's called you to be, you've got to get in the mirror and say goodbye to you. Goodbye the way you thought it would be. The way you heard it when God spoke. Amen? You hear it one way because that's where you're living at the time. But God's got a whole other plan designed for you. When he's done with you, you'll be greater than you ever thought you could be. Watch what he says here. In Luke 1 and 4, he says, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things whereunto hast been instructed. Thou have been instructed. That you may know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. I can tell you right now, in your personal growth, you're not going to see success on every level. Matter of fact, I can tell you right now, in your personal growth, you're going to see very little success. If all you see is success, then you're not growing. You're living in safety. It's not until you see resistance that you grow. Hello? You grow whenever things aren't going right. You're learning how to handle that. What happens to somebody, I get really concerned about anybody who's in leadership that never sees resistance and never sees failure. Because they're going to see failure. And when they see failure, they won't know how to handle it. And everything they got to this point will just be leveled just out of their reaction to that failure. You've got to know how to handle failure before you're ever going to know how to handle championing something. Failure's just part of it. There's nothing worse than seeing some little kid who fails or experiences failure and they're just kicking around and throwing a fit, all upset, pouting for days because they lost a competition or they. And then what do we do? Here's where it's tough in church because we want to turn around and give everybody a yogi button, an okay, you did great, a trophy. If those kids didn't win the game, they don't deserve a trophy. They deserve the experience of losing. What does that do? It builds character. It produces ethics. It produces growth to maturity to handle failure and not be afraid of it. God doesn't, see, the Bible says, fear thou not. Why not? Because I'm with you. Now, while I'm with you, you're going to find some failure. Abraham failed. Every character in the Bible experienced failure. Everyone, except one, experienced failure. Jesus is the only one that didn't experience failure. Everyone else experienced failure. Now, who's Jesus here? Are you Jesus? No. No. Who is Jesus? He's the Word. So if Jesus is the only character in the Bible who experienced no failure, then where do we run to so that we, when we find failure, where do we run to get this failure lined out? To the perfect one, Jesus, to the Word. Not to a book, not to somebody else's. Books are great. You can run to some of the things they say, but get the Word in you first so that the book doesn't determine your thinking, but the Word of God determines your thinking, and the book maybe magnified it, you see. That's okay for it to magnify because somebody got a revelation. Revelation is just a magnification of God. That's all revelation is, a magnification of God. You can see something you couldn't see before, all right? So now with that in mind, when we see failure, who do we run to? The Word of God. Amen. Not using the Word of God as a tool to get God to manipulate you out of this. Amen. Because some of the failure we experience is not produced by Satan and it's not produced by the economics. Remember, they no longer have any power. You're a ambassador to this world. You're from another kingdom now. You're born of Christ. Maybe it's God trimming some stuff to produce what? What does trimming a tree produce? Growth. What will it do? Produce more fruit. He's growing you up. He's trying to get it. I got a wonderful song right now that just keeps rolling in my head by Rich Mullins. He says in one line in that song, he says, I would rather fight you for what I don't want than receive from you what you know I need. Did you just hear what I said? I would rather fight you for what I really don't want than to receive from you what you know I already need. I beat my head against the wall so many times, and now I find myself falling to my knees. Folks, I'm telling you, this thing, he's trying to, what he's saying is, I'm trying to get you there. But there's some stuff you've got to experience. There's some stuff I've got to walk with you through. And understand, he takes you no place that he hasn't already gone. Knows the way, comes back, and walks you through. He's walking us through because here's the bottom line. You're equipped, you're empowered, and you have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords walking with you, in you, around you. He has given you angels to protect you, to watch over you, to go before you, be at your side, at your back. I have not quit riding the motorcycle since last year and that deer, Rick. That does not ever. Well, we probably ought to. No. That was the angels protecting us. I've looked that scenario over and over and over again. I don't know how one of us did not hit that deer. I don't know. It passed through us, did it not? All of us are staggered riding. When I seen it, it was like a ghost right there. They said in the back it should have hit Pat. And we're running 60, 65. And that deer continued to run through us. And there's how many of us? 8? Staggered? And that deer ran through us at 60 miles an hour. How did that happen? We receive, this is how it happened. Out here in the parking lot's how that happened. We receive your protection. We are the children of God. And we take authority over the animal kingdom. And we know that it will no weapon formed against us will prosper. And we receive that protection in Jesus' name. And we receive, Father, that we take authority and they cannot get in our path. Well, he jumped over our paths, but he never got in our path. If he'd got in our path, one of us would have got him. And if the one in the middle would have got it, how many behind? Now, in the natural, when we went past that, it startled me for a second. And in the natural, of course, I'm looking in the rearview mirror. Is everybody else okay? When in, you know, that was my weakness. Hello? I'm looking to see if everybody's okay. God, you are my God, and I will ever, amen? He's God of me, and he's God of them, and he got us all through that. Oh, we're not going to ride in the dark anymore. I'm scared. Well, you're going to let that grab a hold of you after you watched God do that for you? After you saw God, how he handled the situation and how he brought you through, you don't want to go anymore? Oh, come on. That was proof right there that he's got you protected. I've told you before, it's knowing how to pray. Knowing who he is in us, knowing who he is, and knowing he will take care of us. Amen? How do I receive that? Well, it goes back to, I'm going to have to enlarge my tent. And I'm going to have to let others stretch my curtains. Ooh. That's why we love healing school. What are we doing? We're stretching you. We're stretching you to believe something that you might not have believed before, or you know that it's true, but you need strength in it. You need stretching in it. Amen? You come to us, and you start telling me what the doctors told you. One of the first things, you can ask Rick Nanny. You can ask some of the others that I've had personal life experience with. One of the first things I'm going to tell you is, I don't care. Stop listening to what that man told you. Don't listen to what he told you. That is a fact, but it's not the truth. Now, the next step you've got to take is you've got to determine, because you're at a why now. You're at a crossroad. It's not even a crossroad. It's a why in your life. One road goes to a dead end, and the other road takes you on in life. And the next thing you've got to do is begin to look at your map and decide, how am I going to plan my next road? Am I planning to live, or am I going to plan to die? And if you're going to plan to die, I'm going to love you all the way down that road, because it's your choice. But I ain't planning to die. Get that out of your head. And I didn't know how to express that. Now, here's where being baptized in the Holy Spirit comes in big time handy for you and for those around you. Because we just kept getting a bad report and kept getting a bad report and kept getting a bad report. I didn't know what to say. I'm his pastor. I don't know what to say. I'm standing on this. I ain't budging. I'm not leaving. But I don't really know inside your heart really what you're believing. I'm believing you're telling me the truth, and you're nagging on me enough to know I know you're hungry. So if you're hungry, I know you're wanting it. So I do believe you're believing with us, and we're believing with you. But what's the next step, God? What's the next step? And I remember talking to them. I was parked in that barn next to our house. I just pulled in. I was listening to them talk. And out of nowhere, I started saying stuff. I felt the Spirit of God come in the cab of that truck, and I started saying stuff. And here's how it works. You're saying stuff. If you've ever spoken tongues, you know what I'm talking about. You're speaking in tongues, you don't know what you're saying, and it's almost like an out-of-body experience. You listen to yourself speak, and while you're listening to yourself speak, you also, people are flashing in front of you, and you know the Holy Spirit is praying for them, because he's got to get it out in the earth. It's in the heavens, he's got to get it out in the earth. And he's using you as a vessel to get it out of the earth. Oh, Floyd back there just a-laughing because he's experiencing this. Floyd does more ministry, I guarantee you, inside that truck speaking like this, because you're issuing stuff out that nobody knows how to pray but the Holy Spirit. And he's got to have somebody to pray through. And let me tell you something, to get that pliable with God, for him to be able to use you, you're going to lose a whole lot of you. You're not even going to recognize yourself. It's probably why I ran for so long, because I knew what the cost was on this thing, and I had plans that I wanted to do, and why would you dare call me? I know what that means, and I ain't doing it, you know. I'm so glad I did, because this is the best life and the best road there ever was. I'm telling you. I know what Dean's plans did. Anyway, I'm sitting there, and out of that, I start speaking stuff like, you shall see your children and your grandchildren and their children, and you will watch them grow up, and you will pour the word of God in them. And I don't know what all I said, and I'm sitting here saying this to a guy who's got a death certificate. The whole time I got done, and they talk about how, well, that didn't sound like Dean. It's because it wasn't Dean. The whole time Dean's speaking in that, Dean's going, what in the world are you doing? This is crazy. You can't do this to me. This is the kind of stuff that'll ruin a ministry. Tell people a bunch of lies, you know? Tell people a bunch of stuff that's just, you know, pie in the sky. What in the world is wrong with you, Holy Ghost? You know? And then you have to take that thought captive, knowing this is God speaking, and he never fails. It's the infallible word of God. And it just was rolling out of me. And it was that when they got the picture, what God, you know what God was doing that day in the cab of my truck and into the ear of them? He was releasing their roadmap. They were at a Y. And somebody kept telling them, you can't take this road, you can't take this road, you can't take this road, you can't take, you need to take this road. This is the road you've been handed. This is the road that science says you've got. This is the road you're going to have to take. There are no options. There are no other way. You need to just turn your steering wheel and head down this road, and this is the road you're going to take. You know when you take that road, you know what the first thing happens to you when you take that road? Your lights go out. I've seen it over and over again. First thing Satan does is knocks him lights out. Now you're not sure. You're only sure of one thing. I'm going to go to heaven. That's about all you're really sure of. I'm telling you, when God gave them a map, I never seen people turn down a road that they said that if somebody said they couldn't have so fast. They turned down that road so fast and grabbed a hold of it. And it was such an honor to be in the kingdom of God on that day, and the Holy Spirit used me to go in that to deliver the map. That's because that's all I did. I was just a delivery boy of a map. And that map said, hey, we're going this way. And they chose to take that way. And now they got grandchildren. And now those children, I'll watch. Those children will have children. And they're going to be pouring into them. But that takes spiritual growth, folks. And I'm telling you right now, I wish I could tell you that happens overnight. I wish I could tell you that when you're done, you recognize yourself. But I can tell you, he's going to transform you. He's going to transform you. See, that's the working. The Holy Spirit working is not in here. Paul had to get on to him because they wanted to keep it inside the house. Somebody's coming with a word of deliverance. We don't need y'all opening up your gifts and beginning to show everybody you got a gift. Your gift is for out there in the world because you're the church. This is not the church. God has refused to use me in those capacities so much inside here. It happens so much more out there. Why? Because it's out there to the people that God wants to touch and reach. Amen. It's through you. He doesn't want them to get addicted to going to a building to get from him. Is this making any sense to anybody? This is called spiritual growth, folks. Why is it this way? Because God does not want you to come to a church and to a place and look at people who you wish you could have that. God said, no, I want you to have this. I want you to have spiritual growth. I want you to sing a psalm, and when it does, the Spirit of God fills your house and your husband doesn't know what to do with that. Hello? Your wife doesn't know what to do with that. Your children don't know what to do with that. Because when you sing a hymn or sing a song, the Spirit of God gets released just like it does at church. And he's moving all over that house, all through there, touching their heart, touching their heart, touching their heart, giving them language you can't produce to make a change. But he's making a change because he knows their heart language. Folks, this is the spiritual growth. I want to just share this with you, and we're closing. It's 11:08, and I just want to share this with you because you need to know this. Go back to Luke 1:4, that thou mightest know the certainty. You know what the word for certainty there is? Great things. So that you might know the great things of those, the greatness of those things wherein you have been instructed. God wants personal growth in you so that you will know the great things he has in store for you. Say it with me. I'm going to do. Come on, I'm going to do great things. Failure is just a growth. I'm just growing. I'm not a failure. I have fails. I see failure because it's growing me. See, what can Satan do with somebody like that? What can he do with somebody like that? When he tries to, because when you get failure, that's when he comes in talking. And when you fail, you stand up and say, well, I just grew an inch. I'm growing toward the greatness that God has planned for me. Uh-oh. What? Didn't you get it? You're supposed to go down now. You're supposed to get depressed. You're supposed to get the grumblies. You're supposed to get, this was supposed to be a seed to come into your life so that you and your wife would argue. And I'd like to get you all wrapped up into that. And trying to figure out why it happened, how it happened, all that. I'm trying to get you distracted. And you turn around and turn it into growth? You and God are getting closer now? What can I do with that? See, that's why there's no sin can hold on you. That's why Satan has no authority in your life. Why? Because you have now discovered I'm growing. You know what comes with growing? Pain. Growing pains, amen. Growing pains, but you're growing, amen. You're stretching, amen. And we're here to grab a hold of your cords and help you, amen. Going to grab them and pull, but we can do it in love. You don't have to do it like a jerk. I used to think you had to be a jerk to do that. I used to be a lot of a jerk trying to get you to grow, trying to get people to grow. And I found out you don't have to do it that way. You can do it. You tear the tent that way. Amen. Stretching, not tearing. Amen. Everybody good? There's greatness in every one of you. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's greatness in me. There's greatness in me. There's greatness in me, and it's going to come out. It's going to come out. You better keep watching me. It's coming out in Jesus' name. You